board for approval.
Any objection to that? Okay, any problem with that?
No.
You've seen that anyway, but okay, all right. The bill's ready as amended to go to the floor. Chair moves that. Committee assistant will call roll on sending House Bill 2367 as amended to the floor.
Representative Kopeck?
Aye.
Representative Jones?
Aye.
Senator Carroll?
Aye, so ordered. Okay, what else, Sue?
We can go back to, well, let's do the easy ones, and then we'll go back to 115.
Okay.
There was one more issue on wood stoves that needed to be spoken to that hadn't come up during the hearings.
Okay.
Chairman, this is something that came up well after budget preparation and all else. Effectively, what it is, if you recall from the 1983 session, there is a statewide wood stove program that had been put in place. We established standards that were two-tiered standards, one for 1986, one for 1988. In the last year, the federal government has adopted a national wood stove standard. They are having their standards come into effect in 1988 and 1990, more stringent standards. They are gearing up for their testing of their wood stove program. However, prior to the implementation of their program, they are saying that any wood stove that is certified by Oregon to meet R88 standard will meet the 1988 federal standard. Consequently, many, many wood stoves that were never intended to ever be sold in Oregon are coming through our program to be able to be certified to get grandfathered under the feds. What is at issue here is we need some staff between now and the end of this year to handle that workload that nobody ever anticipated and is required because of the feds. It is being paid for by the people that are providing this. That is, there's a fee. It just is we need the limited duration positions and the expenditure limitations. One FTE total in four different spots.
Okay. Any objection with the proposal on wood stoves? Hearing none, that's ordered. Okay, what else?
Okay, this was speaking to the groundwater package of yesterday. You had
note.
Reduced the general fund to $375,836. Language there, I'm probably going to need to clean it up with council, but an appropriation of $375,836 is made to the emergency board for the Department of Environmental Quality finance the groundwater program if Senate Bill 981 is not passed by the 1987 Legislative Assembly. If Senate Bill 981 does become law, the $375,836 will become part of the general emergency fund to be used for any governmental purpose.
Chairman, I don't remember the bill number that addressed that issue. That is that the 500,000 that
yes,
the same 500,000 that we were discussing and you had proposed an option to reduce that by some hundred and some thousand.
Yes,
so that's this. I just want to be sure that
that is it.
And in talking to Senator Thorne yesterday, there will be some money, he said, that we could take care of the Department of Agriculture's capital cost in an extra, in their own budget.
That's what I'm thinking.
And so that's fine. This is
okay. Does this go in a bill someplace, or what is this? Is this a budget note?
This will, excuse me, no, this will be in the appropriation bill, because it's appropriating
okay.
Language.
Okay, in the appropriation bill. Any objection? Just putting it in a hearing on okay.
Okay, these are the proposed amendments to 115. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go through them with you since they were just completed.
This is our last item.
This is the last one.
Last item.
Okay, I'm not the first three amendments there don't look substantive to me. I guess it would take us to page 8, line 27. Okay, this is where we'd be talking about the tank fee. After the period, insert such fees shall not exceed $25 per tank per year.
Okay. Per tank per year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we're down lines 31 through 39, deleting essentially the authority for local government units to collect their own fees. So the fees would all run through the department and then be distributed by them back for local effort. Okay, page 9.
Page 9.
Delete lines 32 through 37. Okay, this was the issue yesterday when you decided to simply delete the authority for charging the corrective action fee rather than delaying it. That's what that does, is delete section 25.
Okay.
Okay, on page 10, line 9. Oh, that's cleanup language. Essentially, what's happening there is deleting lines 12 through 14, which is deleting the usage of those monies for the insurance. If you have any extra fees coming in from the tanks, they would be used for a cleanup effort rather than starting the insurance program. Okay, after line 44, okay, this is a new part of section 27. This is no rule requiring any owner or permittee to demonstrate and maintain financial responsibility shall be adopted by the commission before review by the appropriate legislative committee as determined by the president, the senate, and the speaker of the house. Okay, that was
that's a new sub.
Yes.
Sub six.
That was, I believe, an effort to ease industry's concern. Okay, on page 11, line 19, we're putting numbers in that blank USC site. Okay, in line 24 after the period, this is a different...
Just a minute. The numbers we're putting in there are...
USC site. Public law 98.616 and public law 99.499.
But the word site in after USC on line 19.
It deletes the USC.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, deletes that whole thing and inserts the two public law numbers. Okay, the next language there is speaking to the self-insurance plan and simply stating that the plan of action must be reviewed by the Legislative Assembly or the Emergency Board prior to implementation. And that's new. Again, addressing industry's concern.
Okay,
on page 14 after 33. Oh, this is a language that was coming from Senate Bill 123. You needed to talk about this a little bit. I pulled it forward because I was thinking you wanted to keep those two sections. Let me read it for you. Consistent with the Oil and Hazardous Material Emergency Response Master Plan, the department... Oops. It is not. Let me back up. This is a different section. The department may make grants to rural fire protection districts, counties, cities or counties for up to 90% of the actual cost to purchase equipment and supplies to respond to oil and hazardous material spills or releases. What happened there in, this is Senate Bill 5551-2, the spill response bill that went out whenever. The language is not in current statute, which would allow the department, if they receive the federal funds, to make the grants to the locals. They do to the state, but not to the locals. So this language is intended to address that issue.
Okay,
let's see what the next one is. The next one is the one I was thinking of in 123. It used to be 123. All these had the same relating clause, so we're okay. Any district may contract with another rural fire protection district, city, or county to establish, operate, and maintain a regional oil and hazardous material emergency response team. The contracting parties may provide for a joint board of control composed of representatives of the contracting parties to control the operation of the regional emergency response team. Okay, all that language is simply lifted out of 123 and put in here.
No problem with that. Okay.
Hazardous material, oil, person, and spill in response to the same meaning established in ORS 466605. Apparently, that's a clarification that council put in there.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, what page are you on?
Now we're at the top of
page three.
The next few things there are renumbering sections. Okay, this is the section 50, then, is where she sunset the $5. Basically, it says the fees will be $20 per tank per year, and effective July 189.
Go ahead, Danny.
It online starting on line 11 there, Sue. It would seem to me that should tie into the eligibility requirement. This says everything. Every permittee of an underground tank, and there's a limit on, you know, this would indicate you're talking about every tank, and the limit to start with was 1,100 gallons, and over that.
I believe that's addressed, and it has to be addressed in the main language of the bill. She simply picked up the same sections and just put the 20 in. So the minimums have got to be addressed, I believe, in the definitions portion of the main bill.
Is this new language, though?
No, it is not.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, what you do is you pick back up on page 2 the definitions of both what a committee is and an underground storage tank is, and it is only that which meets the volume requirements. So the permittee language here covers that.
Just wanted to be sure I didn't want to wake up some morning and three more tanks that I got.
Okay, section 51 is the operative date. Section 52, Rich, are these the contract amendments that you worked on? Section 52.
That was something that you actually needed to be brought over from 122 for.
Okay. The rest of this is not substantive.
This is not substantive. It's all just conflict or
whatever. It's either conflict or clarification.
Okay.
And if it's not, I will bring it back to you, but that's what it appears to be to me.
Why don't we move the dash 3 subject to further scrutiny by our staff and others to make sure they're okay, but move them anyway so we can move the bill out. Is there any objection to the dash 3 amendments? Hearing none, they're ordered. Senate Bill 115, motion is to send it to the full Ways and Means Committee as amended. Is there any objection? The committee assistant call roll on the motion.
Representative
Cortez. Aye.
Representative Jones.
Aye.
Senator Crowe.
Aye. If there are any problems with the amendments, we can redo them. That concludes our business for today. Mr. Kennedy, thank you. Mr. Hanson, thank you.
Do you need the budget?
Do you want to wait for amending to the budget, or do you just
want to move? budget now? Are we ready to move it?
Ready, Sue?
The only other thing, Senator Yee wanted the personnel person, and I can't remember the package number anyway, to make sure that that was a limited duration position and not a permanent position.
Mr. Chairman, I am not sure whether this is in your total budget or not, but she did not want another in the field burning issue, you know, the other.
That was out.
We made that decision quite a while ago.
At that time?
Yeah, that's out.
Well, are you sure we cut him enough?
What's the number of the bill? Senate bill, what's the budget bill?
5521, Senate bill.
Senate bill 5521, Representative Kopetsky moves as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee from Duke House. Committee assistant, call roll on the motion.
Representative Kopetsky?
Aye.
Representative Jones?
Aye.
Senator Crowe?
Aye. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Just a comment, Chairman, yesterday we, in the subcommittee, we discussed again the fact that they moved the fire marshal over into the executive department under their own, I mean, it's a separate agency now. And we give them all that work to do under that other budget where they were. I don't know whether that's.
Sue, will you check into that and see whether the new location affects them or not?
It does not.
What does it not, Mr. Chairman?
Executive department says no.
No. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Very productive morning.
Just for you.
This is the Transportation and Regulation Subcommittee of the Joint Ways and Means Committee having a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 1002, Illegal Drug Cleanup Fund, and a work session on House Bill 5040, Department of Land Conservation and Development, June 15th, 1987, at 8 o'clock a.m.
We'll come to order. We have LCDC here, again, talking about its budget. And as I recall, we had, we were sort of at impasse over the two new positions, or two of the new positions anyway, in the budget.
Can I just, Mr. Chair, to bring my mind up to speed here? With package 102, is that the data, that's the data person? And is that a person federal funds?
No, it's general funds.
No. And then packages 103 and 104 have?
One general funded position, one federally funded position.
Okay.
Plus a federally funded secretary.
Plus a secretary.
Well, we were divided, I think, in the committee. Both Representative Kopetsky and I wanted to give you both positions with full funding. That was the staff recommendation early on, anyway. And we didn't seem to have the votes for that. We were at impasse. And then we had other possibilities discussed with the subcommittee. And one of the possibilities that we discussed was whether or not we could not give one position, but for the other position, give some funding toward it, basically, so that the amount of general fund would, in the administrative side of the budget, would be at basically inflation level, right? 4.5, wasn't that it?
Correct.
And we talked about that, and there seemed to be some agreement that we could do that. Since then, Representative Jones has reported back that there's not a lot of support in his caucus, virtually no support in his caucus for doing that. But anyway, that's sort of where we are at this point on the situation. The chair would like to move the original LFO recommendations and see whether or not we're still at impasse on those. So the chair moves those. Any discussion on those? Yes.
I think that's where you are. is that they have been
they're already accepted.
In all motions since then, they're not.
Okay, so the right motion then would be to send the budget with the LFO recommendations to the full committee. Chair will move that. Let's see if we're going to ask for it. Senator?
No, LFO's recommendation is.
Go ahead, Sue.
Okay, it includes everything that's on that sheet, including full funding for the two positions that are in question. They're listed in.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Okay.
Yes.
Then. Okay, they're listed in package 102 and package 103 and 4, essentially combined packages 103 and 104. Those are the plan amendment and periodic review.
Mm-hmm. So we'll go ahead and fund them in 68,000 for 102 and 68,000 for 103 and 104.
Right, that was my recommendation.
And we're voting on this one.
Yes.
But, Mr. Chairman, I thought the co-chair came in and recommended a compromise.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And we'll come back to that if this won't fly.
Okay.
But if you want this to fly, why, then we'll let it fly. Okay. Committee assistant will call a roll on the motion.
Representative Kopetsky?
Aye.
Representative Jones?
No.
Senator Yee?
No.
Senator Terrell?
Motion fails. Okay, well, it never hurts to try those things again and see what happens. Then the other suggestion was the co-chair's suggestion, which was a funding of a little bit of one position, no funding of one position, a funding up to 4.5 increase in general fund for a second position that was about 30,000, wasn't it, Sue?
The last I heard it was 34,308.
34,308. To help with the one, with the idea that you can come back to the e-board in the second year if you needed additional help. And that was the Senator Thorne came in, I think, and helped us with that particular compromise. Yes, go ahead. Okay. Sure, of course.
The I would have supported that $34,000, but took it from my caucus and they turned thumbs down on it, and that's all there is to it. I don't want to try it with the caucus against it up there, and if it were so late in the session, if it fails on the floor, then we're back down here with it and got to do something else with it and hold it up. So,
what's your feeling about them coming back to the e-board and if they really need
something? Well, of course, that, Mr. Chairman, is something that any department has the right to do. They got to go through the executive department, of course, to get there.
Yeah.
And that was, again, the caucus position that we not suggested to do that, but they know they have that privilege, and they weren't in favor of putting that in as a budget note. But I just said, well, I would anyway support one unfunded position and take it back and try to get support for that. They didn't even say they would support that, but I think. But anyway, that's just merely, Mr. Chairman, to bring you and the members of the committee.
Well, we appreciate that.
As to what's happened, and you've been around long enough to know those things happen. So yeah, that's all there is.
Sure. Okay. Mike, go ahead. Mike wanted to.
Is the federal funded position contingent upon our doing something with the?
No. Well, let me finish your question.
On our doing something with the general fund position?
No.
And are we talking about the federal funded position? Is there?
Sue, can you help us?
I don't think the federal funding positions have ever been in question.
No, it's the general fund position that I'm referring to.
And one of those, okay, one of them is the data processing.
Right. Mr. Chairman, if I might just add to that, I was, not saying which one should be or which one, that would be up to them, and I believe those on that sheet, those two positions are $68,000 apiece, and I would take to our caucus and try to get past one of them without any funding if they can eat that, but fine. I just
don't think we can do the other. So that's just bringing me up to date.
Could I just ask Denny one question?
Sure.
And that was the, in making the presentation, did you happen to discuss the maintenance grants for the local governments and what we've done there?
Oh, that's a very important part of getting what you're going to get. If it hadn't been for that, they'd have kicked the whole thing out. You wouldn't even have had a budget of any kind.
And,
I mean, that's a, you know, that was something that, that they were real definite about. I understand what you're saying. It was a selling point, all right, but it was just something that almost had to be done. If you got anything, that is, I'm just talking about the art college.
The other part of it, and I think one can certainly make the case to the full legislature, and it should be a case that would be one that, that some people would be sympathetic to anyway, and that is that this agency workload has increased dramatically, that it's engaged in two important processes that if they don't work well will affect local government very badly. One's the amendment process, and the other's the periodic review process, that they were cut substantially last session, and they are shorthanded now, and the workload justifies those positions. Denny is willing to give them one position, but not the other, and they're not asking for a lot of addition. They were cut. Some was restored by the e-board, but not very much. So they were indeed cut last time significantly. Workload has increased. We keep asking them to do more. I know other bills have come through asking them to do additional things. And so so the co-chair came in with a what I thought was a reasonable compromise, which was to add a little bit to the one position we're going to give them, which was 30,000. So I guess that's where we are, and we're ready for, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I know Denny voted for the compromise last time, and you're saying the caucus still does not support it.
What?
We didn't vote on it, I think, Mary. We just sort of informally, we just sort of talked among ourselves.
Oh,
was that right, Sue? There was no vote.
I thought we...
I think there was a vote, Mr. Chairman.
Was there a vote?
Mm-hmm. But were you voting no?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we then why did you tell us that...
Because it was 2-2.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, all right. Excuse me. Another impasse. But you're right. Okay. All right. Now, I'm willing to accept it. If you're willing to accept it, we can play ball.
I'm willing to go for the co-chair's recommendation.
Committee assistant will call a roll on the motion.
Representative Kopetsky?
Yes. Do we understand the motion? The motion is the compromise suggestion of Senator Thorne.
$34,000.
Mm-hmm. Addition for one position not.
It's one position and half funded. Aye.
Representative Jones?
No.
Senator Yee?
Aye.
Senator Terrell?
Aye. Motion passes. Budget's ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Senator, Mike, you want to move the budget to full? Is that right, Mr.
Chair?
Right? No other strings or anything. Representative Kopetsky moves the budget as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee to pass the recommendation. Committee assistant will call a roll on the motion.
Representative
Kopetsky?
Aye.
Representative Jones?
No.
Senator Yee?
Aye.
Senator Terrell?
Aye. Okay, CDC is on its way, finally. After a long, long struggle. Thank you.
We'll do some carriers on that.
Okay, is it a House bill?
Yes, it is.
Representative Kopetsky?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want a carrier, do you? All right. Sorry.
I'm not saying so.
I won't.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, shall we be in recess until Senator Olson gets here for his bill? Is that the only thing we also have on the agenda?
Yes, 1002 is...
Okay. Meeting will come to order. Call Fred Hansen up and Senator Olson up. We have assigned to the subcommittee at Chair's request and at Representative Jones' request of Senate Bill 1002, which is basically sponsored by Senator Olson. So Senator Olson, why don't you remind us again what the bill is and what it does and what you need from us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Bill Olson, State Senator from District 25 in Southern Oregon. Senate Bill 1002, which has previously been heard in your subcommittee, is an attempt on the part of both the DEQ and many of us that are concerned about the liabilities of leaving drug labs